time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Thank you so much, announcer, lady person. You're so kind. You know, I'm very excited about today's program because I want to talk to you about some things that will help, I think, help you understand a little bit why the world is so unresponsive to the gospel and to God's things, to God's stuff, to the things of Scripture, to the things of basic Judeo-Christianity, the things of our faith. Why are people so blind? I'm going to get to that in just a second. Hey, quick praise. God has seen fit to elevate the release of my new book to the point where the Kindle version, the audiobook version, and the print version all have earned the number one new release badge on Amazon. All three of those formats have. And the all three versions really have been hovering around the number one spot in their category. Actually, the audio version has already hit number one spots there right now, but it's a number one new release. But it's been so cool to see that. But you know what? I want that thing to continue to rise and to take that spot, not for competition's sake, but obviously to get the gospel out. Because in this book, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, if you're a non-Christian, you read this book, you're going to be gripped with the fact that this is the world that is waiting for you. I paint this picture of this world during the tribulation run by the Antichrist. It's waiting for you. You don't want to go there. And in the back of the book, I answer questions about the Antichrist. And the last question is, what's in it for me? And what's in it for you is salvation. And if you don't know Christ and you read this book, so it's a great evangelistic tool you can bring, give to someone. It's not a cheesy Christian novel. It's gripping. It's dark. It's real. And I believe it paints a possible scenario, just like a really good movie would, about the coming era and reign of the Antichrist. If you're a Christian, you're going to learn so much about the Antichrist and these 30 different topics that I cover in the back of the book. But you're also going to be compelled by the story as well. Early reports people are reading the book are saying, Jeff, I couldn't go to sleep that night. Not after I read it, but while I was reading it, because I just wanted to keep going with the next chapter. And had a husband buy a book for me saying, my wife is hogging the book. I need a copy of my own. So he bought himself a copy as well. So if you hadn't had a chance to buy Interview with the Antichrist, go to Amazon.com right now. Click on that tab. You can donate it. You can download it, rather, immediately through the Kindle or the audio book, or you can just get the print version and get one for a friend. Someone emailed me here yesterday and said, I just bought two copies for friends. I know they'll love this book. So anyway, keep praying for that. It's very important for me. Obviously, this is part of how I make my living. But even beyond that, obviously, it's the way or one primary way that I get the truth of God out there. Another thing to praise God about is I wrote a devotional for faithgateway.com. And this is a devotional, online Christian devotional place. And they have, some, I don't know, upwards of 500,000 different subscribers on their website. But anyway, I wrote a devotional called Why Should the Antichrist Matter to Me Right Now? And that's been downloaded and read thousands of times. Very, very, it's only been up for just a short while. I posted a link to that on both my personal and my official Facebook page, which is Jeff Kinley Author Speaker. So just type that in, Facebook, Jeff Kinley Author Speaker, and you can like that page, and that way you can kind of see what's going on and get updates as well. If you would like to be a part of helping me promote this book, want to be on my team, go to the Vintage Truth Street Team, Vintage Truth Street Team, and you can click on that thing to join, and I'll get you on board. Okay, let's get to our topic today. We're talking about why in the world are people so dumb? You know, don't you ask yourself that question? Why don't you get it? Why is it not so easy to see the difference between truth and lies in the world today? Why don't people understand and believe Christianity? I don't want to answer this, obviously, from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, because that's the perspective that God gives. I don't really need to know why an unregenerate person would, what reason they would give for rejecting Christianity. I already know why you're going to reject Christianity. I know the real reason. Now, you may give me some smoke screens, some surface reasons, like, oh, a Christian hurt me in the past. Lots of people have hurt you in the past. Get over it. You may say something like, well, I went to a church and it was boring. Okay, I went to school and it was boring too, but I still finished school. I mean, you can give any reason you want to, or I didn't, you know, I prayed to God and I didn't get an answer. Guess what? I prayed thousands of prayers that haven't gotten yes answers to. I mean, if you want to bring up an excuse, there's no excuse you can give to God on the day of judgment that he's going to say, you know what? I didn't think of that one. Come on in. Who cares? No. The real reasons why people don't understand, and I mean don't understand, and don't accept Christ and Christianity is not just for some of the human or surface reasons that people give, but I want to give you just five reasons from the scripture as to why that's true from a biblical, theological standpoint. Here's the first one. The first one is they can't because they're dead in sin. The key word, operative word there, meaning being dead. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You know, it's a very interesting word, that word dead there in the Greek language means dead. It just means dead. It means you're a spiritual corpse. It means that you have no life in you. And let me ask you a question. What can a dead man do? Anybody? What can a dead man do? Well, he can just continue to be dead. He can lie there. He can stink. That's what corpses do. They don't respond. They don't have life in them. And the Bible says that we were dead in our sin. And one of the reasons why you're not getting a response from people that you go, man, I just wish so-and-so would respond. That's like going to a funeral and looking down at the coffin and saying, what's wrong with you, Bob? So he's, okay, where is that in Scripture? Well, if you keep reading in Ephesians 2, he says in verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. You see, God has to impart life in us. And you know, there's the theological argument of, you know, does regeneration or being made life, have life put in us, does regeneration precede faith, us putting our faith in Christ? There is a logical order to this. Chronologically, you know, it's sort of like it happens at the same time, but logically, God has to make the first move in this relationship. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, says, for we have all gone aside, and we have all gone our own way. In fact, let me just read the verses to you so I don't butcher the quote here. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one, not even one. There's none who understands. Oh, there you go. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There's none who does good. There is not even one. Okay, Paul, can you be a little more specific here? There's not even one. All have turned aside. Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying that in order for us to have a relationship with God, being dead in sin and all, that God has to make the first move towards us. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 6, a very, very interesting passage here. Christ says over verse 44. He says, no one, all right, Jesus, now do you mean no one or do you mean no one? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So Jesus is teaching that God has to initiate the relationship with us. He says it again in verse 65, for this reason I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. They can't do it. And so, wow, that's why the Bible says salvation is of the Lord, meaning it's a genitive of origin, meaning it begins with him. We do have a play a part in the not our own salvation, but we have to respond in order to be saved. We have to believe in Christ, put our faith in Christ to be saved, but we don't initiate that. Sometimes we think, well, I've got to persuade the sinner to initiate salvation. What you really need, first of all, is to pray to God for that person. Pray that God would pursue them, that God would chase them like the hound of heaven, and not let them rest until they are miserable in their sin and they want a relationship with God. That's only something that God can create. So, apart from God, that's why we don't argue people in the kingdom, by the way. That's why it's useless to, I mean, literally argue, but I mean, just like, it's useless to try to convince a person who has an unregenerate, sin-filled mind of the truth of God without God working in that person. And this is at the heart of really apologetics. I mean, you can present logic to a person, but unless they are this really rare, independent thinker who has a literal open mind to the truth, they're not going to receive it. They're just going to simply retreat back into their old way of thinking and shut you out and call you a name and go home. God has to make the first move. That makes us very dependent upon God, doesn't it? That means it's not your fault if they don't come to Christ. That means you also aren't the person who saved them if they do come to Christ. We are simply God's messengers. We are God's mail carriers. We deliver the mail. We deliver the message. So reason number one why people don't come to Christ is because they're dead in sin. Let me give you another reason. The Bible tells us that not only people are dead in sin, but they're also blinded by Satan. Blinded by Satan. Now, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul actually says this, okay? He says, verse 3 actually, he begins, "And even if our gospel is veiled," you know what a veil is, right? It's like putting a black sheet over someone's face, they can't see through it. If our gospel, the truth about Jesus, is veiled, truth about salvation, "it is veiled to those who are perishing currently." They are currently, presently perishing. Now, why are they perishing? Why is this gospel veiled to them? Here's another reason, another layer on the reasons why people don't respond. In whose case, verse 4 says, 2 Corinthians 4, "the God of this world." Now, who would that be? That would be little g, by the way, God. It would be Satan. "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving." Now, why would Satan blind people's eyes, people's spiritual eyes, their ability to understand and respond? Why would he do that? Well, fortunately for us, Paul tells us in the very next word. He says, "that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ," who is the image of God, by the way. So what Paul's saying there is that Satan puts a spiritual cloak, if you will, over the eyes of people so that they cannot see. So there's an active satanic influence in and around the lives of these people who are not able to respond. It was in my life as well. Satan was blinding my eyes to certain things until God's truth and His Holy Spirit penetrated that curtain, penetrated that veil, and the light came in, and I was able to see because of what He did. Another verse with that under the blinding of Satan is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, "but a natural man," he's talking about people that are saved, people that are not saved, okay? "Natural man," the unsaved man, "does not accept the things of the Spirit of God." Okay, we get that part, right? Why? What's their reason as to why they don't accept things of the Spirit of God? It says, "for," explanation, "they," what do you mean they, the things of the Spirit of God, "are foolishness to him." Think about how many people you know that are not Christians that think that what you believe and how you live your life is foolish. People that think that you're an idiot, you're a moron, you're wasting your life doing this thing. They are foolishness to them. Look what it says next. "And they cannot understand them." That's exactly what we're talking about. They cannot meaning not able to understand them. They can't even understand. Some people today cannot even understand the basic principles of humanity and of life. I mean, think about that. That a man is a man, and he's always going to be a man because that's what he got at conception. That's a basic, elementary, kindergarten-level truth that people are outright denying and redefining today. They cannot understand them. Why not? Because they, again, the things of the Spirit of God, are spiritually discerned, Paul says. In other words, they are only understood by spiritual people through spiritual means. In other words, the people that can really understand these truths are those, and accept them, are those who have been made alive in Christ and who have a new life in Jesus Christ. And so, what Paul is saying in these two passages is that Satan has this influence over people's minds, and he is diverting their attention from the gospel, and he's blinding them. Every time the gospel comes in or around their life, he blinds them to the gospel, and they don't possess the ability to do that. Now, they're not victims of Satan. They're working in concert with Satan, as we're going to see next time. But that's one of the things that Satan does. Do you recall the parable that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4? The parable of the sower and the soils. And he talks about how, I'll give you the interpretation that Jesus gives without reading the entire passage. Verse 4:14, the sower sows the word. So that will be the truth about God, truth about Jesus. And there are ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear it, immediately Satan, Jesus says, comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Satan comes and snatches away, like a bird coming down and snatching that seed on that soil before it has a chance to sink in, before it has a chance to germinate. You know, I experienced that once with someone I was witnessing to, someone very, very close to me. And we got to the point where we ended up back at this person's house, and I was sharing the gospel, and God had really brought this person to a very sensitive point in their life, and they were open to Christ, and three other people had witnessed to them the same evening, and I was just sort of following up, and I was like, okay, so what? So what are you going to do with this? And it's like they walked up to that narrow gate, and they peeked over the line, peeked through it, and they sort of looked back at their own life, and that person said, you know, I just need to think about it. I need some more time to think about it. And in that moment, Satan was snatching that seed up out of their life. That's what he does. He's really good at it, by the way. He's great at distraction. He's great at convincing people they don't really need it, that this is something they can do later. Hey, I even said that for my own life for many years. You know, one day I'm going to settle down, go to church, you know, be a nice guy, that kind of thing. It's a satanic deception that he uses on people. And it's really not a matter, by the way, we're going to talk about three more reasons here next time, but it's really not a matter that people can't, is that they won't. Now, obviously, they're unable to raise themselves from the dead spiritually, and they've been blinded by Satan. But there is also a human resistance going on too, which we'll talk about next time. But don't be distracted and sidestepped by some of the smoke screens and excuses that people use as to why they don't want to come to Jesus Christ. You know the real reasons. Now, it's okay to address those things. You know, for example, someone says, well, all the hypocrites in the church. Oh, so the church has a monopoly on hypocrites? I mean, aren't there many other places in the world that where there are hypocrites? Are there hypocrites at your school, hypocrites in your neighborhood, hypocrites at the country club, hypocrites at work? Hypocrites are everywhere. But just because someone doesn't accurately represent what they say they believe doesn't mean that the belief itself is illegitimate. I mean, I sometimes have used the excuse, you know, did your mother ever burn the biscuits? Your mother ever make a bad meal? Ever had a bad meal at the restaurant? Sure you have. Does that mean you stop eating? No, because you're an intelligent person. You know that that doesn't represent all food everywhere. The same is true with the hypocrite argument. It doesn't represent all Christians everywhere. So when people try to give you those smoke screens, don't fall for them. Go for the real spiritual reason. The real reason is, Rob, is that you're dead. The Bible says you're dead in sin, and you're blinded by Satan. And I'm going to share some truth with you, going to help open your eyes to this truth about what Jesus can do for you. More about this next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.